30 minutes later after my coffee and I was really awake, the Lord says, just scratch it and start all over. I was like, oh, God. So we're just going places today. Last week, this caught my attention, this worship night. And because of that, I had to reflect on my life. Worship was probably, if you would have showed me this a long, long time ago, I was like, eh, I don't know. Do you have any food? Do you have any cute guys? I might come. And so I've had to grow in my understanding of what worship is all about. And I thought of that and this night that we've got, and I thought, I'm going to teach on worship. So we're going to do part two. Last week we talked about why we worship, and if you were not able to be here, go online and listen to it. It's really foundations of how we're going to proceed. So last week was why. Today we're going to talk about who. Who do we worship? And y'all would respond, yeah, we do. We worship the one and only true God. We worship the one God, the true and living God. Amen? So that's like, yeah, I know that, Pastor D. But here's the thing. I believe that God always wants to reveal himself to us. God always wants to reveal himself to us. And I woke up this morning, and I had an opportunity to experience and have God reveal himself to me this morning at 5. You should have been there. The coffee was great, all right? But the fact is that we always have opportunities and to experience and encounter who God is every single day. And I believe today, because I've been up since 5, that God wants you to have an encounter and an experience with him. So put your seatbelts on or just take them off. Okay, you ready? So open up your Bibles to Jeremiah 10:6. Jeremiah was a prophet. You know, it was kind of rough being a prophet when he walked the earth, but he was obedient to hear from God and speak from God. And this is what he said, Jeremiah 10:6. No one is like you, Lord. You are great and your name is mighty in power. You are great and your name is mighty in power. You are Lord. So he's got, like, lights are going off with him, all right? So when we're talking about God, who's great and he's mighty, I think we might have to start with knowing a little bit about him. Like okay, he's great. Well, tell me more about he's great. Well, I love when people say, you know, that person's so nice. Well, tell me more. Well, they're just nice. Well, tell me more. They're just nice. Well, I think we could add some more to this. So we're going to look at 3 characteristics of God so you'll be able to say, he's God. He's great. He's mighty. So the first one we're going to look at is omniscient, and that means he's all-knowing. Everybody go, he's all-knowing. That means he knows the beginning from the end. He's all-knowing. In Psalm 139:16, it says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day passed. That means before you were born. That means before you had a breath. That means before anything happened in your life was written in a book. He knows everything. It's a little scary sometimes, though, right? He knows everything. You think your mama knows everything. God knows everything, but he loves you, okay? Second thing about the character of a God, he's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. God is everywhere. He's everywhere. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help us in times of trouble. He's always ready to help me in times of trouble, and he's always ready to help everybody else. All over the place. It's just, your brain just kind of goes tilt. But that's because God is everywhere. So everybody say, so he's all-knowing, he's everywhere, and here's the last one. He's omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. He's all-powerful. He's got no limitations, all right? So I got to thinking about this all-powerful God, my God. He's all-powerful, but you know what I found out? He's also personal. He's all-powerful, and he's personal. Anybody know him as all-powerful in your life? Anybody know him as personal in your life? He's all-powerful and he's personal. He's all-powerful that he just created the universe, and he's personal that he knows the numbers of all the hairs on your head and even the ones that went down the drain this morning. All right? He's powerful and he's personal. He's powerful that he caused the walls of Jericho to come down. And he's personal that he mends the brokenhearted. All right? He's powerful that he split the Red Sea, and he's personal that he can be a friend that sticks close to the brother. He's powerful, but he's personal. He's powerful that he caused Gideon to wipe out 120,000 guys with just 300 men. And he was personal that he would go after Gideon in his fear and his hiding and call him and make him a mighty man of faith. He's personal. Amen? All right. So another one. He's powerful. God is so powerful that he raised Jesus from the dead, and he's so personal that he invites you to have a personal relationship. God is powerful and he's personal. In case you didn't figure out, that's your main idea today. Wink, wink. He's powerful and he's personal, all right? I have had a lot of opportunities to have God be powerful in my life and very personal. And I think back to one of God just being powerful and personal. Jack and I packed up our car, and it was a blue Honda Accord with a car top carrier that's brown. And we drove to Oklahoma believing God for a furnished apartment. And we had less than $1,000 put together, all right? And I watched God be powerful and personal, and he got us this really nice apartment, and it was clean. There were no cockroaches. It was nice. Jim lived below us for a while there. He learned how to cook. He just, you know, I just saw God be powerful in my life and personal. And then I needed a job, and I was getting a little discouraged. A lot discouraged because I was getting my eyes off of him. But then I got my eyes back on him, that he is faithful, that he is powerful. And besides, the just shall walk by faith. And I'm a faith person, so I'm going to walk by faith. God got me my dream job. It was just beautiful. So I have seen God powerful in my life, and I've seen personal. Raise your hand if God's ever been powerful in your life and personal in life. I could have all of you stand up, and we wouldn't be back out of here till dinner. Just telling stories of how powerful God is and how personal he is, okay? I also can remember the real presence of God. It was after Jack passed away, and I want to tell you, I felt alone. I felt like, what on tarnation am I going to do? How is this going to happen? La da 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 da. And I am driving on Route 30 to Lancaster, and the personal presence of God comes in my car, and he says, I have called you to do this. I didn't call you to do it alone, and I will be with you. That was powerful, and I want to tell you, it was personal. It was just the love of God coming in. I wanted to just stay in there. Has anybody had the love of God just camp all over you? I'm telling you, it's beautiful, all right? So I have seen the power of God in provision. I have seen the personal part of God in his presence, in his gentleness and love. I have seen God both powerful, and I have seen him personal. I have encountered it. I know it. Period, end of story, let's go home. But don't go home yet. I have seen God heal in an instant deaf ears. I have also seen God heal for those whose profession just continued to declare, he is my healer, he's my healer, and bam, they receive the healing. All right, I've seen God free friends from addiction. I've seen it, I know it, I watched it. I've seen God just take the biggest messed up, dysfunctional, goofed up family you can imagine, where it looked like no way situations. I've seen God come in and do something powerful and personal in this family. Amen. Anybody? Touch your family, all right? So God is what? powerful, and he's what? And he's personal, all right? So here's also what I found out, since I'm smarter than a fifth grader and a little bit older, all right? This is what I found out. A person with an argument is no match for a person who had an encounter with God. Because you can't talk me out of my personal encounter with God. Amen? You can't. You can't tell me that my God's not my healer. My God's not my provider. You can't tell me. You can't tell me. You're wasting energy. Because I have had an encounter. I've had an experience with a powerful personal God. Anybody else? Amen, Pastor D. Okay. Now, it's up at 5, y'all, and I was believing for you. I'm believing that you will have an encounter with a powerful and a personal God today in this place. I'm believing that you're going to have an encounter with the healer if that's what you need, the provider if that's what you need, the one, maybe you just need to know God is a loving Father. I'm believing God you're going to have an encounter today. Amen. So God is all powerful and he's also personal. He's powerful and he's personal. If he's powerful and personal, it would make sense, since we serve a God that knows all things, that's everywhere, that's powerful, it would make sense that maybe we'd kind of lean into him being all powerful. Maybe we ought to listen to everything he has to say. Maybe we ought to surrender everything because we know he's all powerful. We know he's personal. We know he knows everything. So how about we do that? So I'm going to give you a scripture. Turn over to Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book in the Old Covenant, Deuteronomy. This is actually a prayer that the Hebrews would pray. They would pray this daily. It was almost like a confession prayer. Anybody have confession prayers? Ours might be like the Lord's Prayer, but the Jewish people would pray this prayer daily, confess God, and let's listen to it. Chad, I forgot to tell you that was New King James, but whatever translation you pop up there, you're all good, right? So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Listen, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So we're talking about who we worship, all right? And this tells us who we worship, and it actually tells what our response is because of who we worship. This prayer, this confession, this profession tells us who we worship and then what's our response, all right? So I want to read something when did I buy this book? I bought this book last year, and since last year and this year, I've probably read 3 books about worship. It's just been burning into my heart. And one of the books, and I couldn't remember which one it was, and because I think I gave it away, but I copied this down. Listen to this. This is written by a rabbi who tells you what this scripture means when he says, listen. You know, listen. Rabbi Sachs says this: listen means listen. Concentrate. Give the word of God your focused attention. Strive to understand. Engage all your faculties. Make his will your own. For what he commanded you to do is not irrational, it's not arbitrary, but for your welfare, comma, the welfare of your people, and ultimately the benefit for humanity. I think there's something about listening. I think there's something about concentrating. I think there's something about giving God your focus. Now, haven't done this in a long time, but have you ever talked to a little kid and you're talking to them and they're like, and you walk up and you don't grab them. You gently put your hands on their chin and you go, listen to me, right? Anybody ever done that to a child? Don't do it to adults. I don't like that, though I'm thinking of it, okay? So I'm grabbing their chin and I'm saying, listen to me. Focus on what I'm saying. Amen? All right? So praise God. Focus on what I'm saying here. So that's what God is saying to us. I want you to focus on what I'm saying. And as a matter of fact, just write this down. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. In 1 Kings chapter 3, King David has died, and now his son Solomon is the king. He's the king, all right? He's the king. And he goes to worship in this town because they had not yet built the temple. So he goes to this town to go worship, and they slaughtered a bunch of animals and they worshiped and sacrificed like that. And then he goes to bed that night. Solomon king, he's the king now, and he's actually a very young king. He goes to bed that night, and God says, "Hey, what can I give you? I've got the list on the side of my refrigerator. Come to my house. It's called the honey list, right?" But no, seriously, he goes to bed that night, and God has a dream, and the Lord says, "What can I give you?" And let me read this to you. King Solomon's response to the Lord. "Here's what I want. Give me a God-listening heart that I can lead your people well, discerning the difference between good and evil, for who on their own capability can lead your glorious people." So what he's really saying, and you know, it's really interesting about this, is most of the time we say, "Oh yeah, God gave Solomon wisdom," right? No, that really wasn't the thing he gave him. He gave him a listening heart, and he asked for a listening heart, and because he asked for a listening heart on how to take care of this people, God says, "I'm going to give you that and wisdom." And that's usually what we know, what Solomon's known for wisdom. But I got to thinking about a listening heart. What is a listening heart? What is a listening heart to God? What is a listening heart to God's word? What is a listening heart to God's ways? What is a listening heart? Well, I'll tell you, a listening heart will cause you to live a life that pleases the Lord. Amen? A listening heart, a right heart, will cause you to live a holy life. A listening heart to God will cause you to live a holy life. A listening heart to God will cause you to do what God wants you to do. A listening heart will cause you to be what God's called you to be. A listening heart will cause you to take the gifts and the talents and the specialness about you, and you'll use it to live for the Lord. That's what a listening heart does, all right? And it'll cause you to have a life of worship, a sacrifice of life of worship. When you are, that's all, you are have a listening heart to God, you will do this. "I'm listening and I'm going to do this. I'm listening. I have a listening heart to God and I'm going to do this. I'm going to worship," all right? "And the reason why I will do this, because he's the only one that's worthy of my worship." Amen? He's the only one. So I want to talk about worship and our response. I want to talk about a response to worship. I want to talk about what it looks like. What does it look like to have a response to worship, a response to God, okay? So I came up with three of them, maybe four of them, three of them, all right? So this is what the first one is. A response to worship looks like alignment. A response to worship looks like an alignment. Have you ever had your car out of alignment? Costs a lot of money, and if you don't, it causes more damage. Have you ever had your back out of alignment? Yes, not fun. Have you ever had your teeth out of alignment? Guess what you need? Braces, okay? So there's when you're out of alignment, it's not good. So let's talk about what it looks like to be in alignment with the Lord. What does it look like to be in alignment with the Lord? So if you're taking notes, write this one down. It's a right heart posture. Have you ever seen somebody with bad posture? I yell at my kids, "Put your back, shoulders up." Okay, so how about, think of this, a right heart posture where you are, everything is towards God, towards his word, and towards his ways. That is a right heart posture. Everybody say, right heart, posture. Okay, all right, here's an example of a right heart posture. Ready? Humility. That's a good example of a right heart posture, humility. Humility like, "Not my will, but your will." And you know who had a really good right heart posture? Our Lord Jesus. He says, I did not come to do my will, but the will of my Father. That was a really right heart posture. It was to his Father, okay? How about this? Right heart posture says, I'll go where you tell me to go, Lord. I'll say what you tell me to say, Lord. I'll not do what you tell me not to do, Lord. If your word says I should refrain from such and such, such and such, I will refrain. That is a right heart posture. Amen? And it actually says, I want to be obedient. I want to be obedient to the Lord. I want to have a right heart towards God, towards his word, and towards his ways. All right? Now, I said this last week, and it's really important. I'm going to say it again. Worship isn't just singing. Remember me saying that? Worship isn't just singing, though there's a whole lot of that. But it isn't just singing. It isn't just the first 30 minutes of a service, okay? It isn't just that. It isn't just that. It's actually, I'm going to surrender in my life. I'm going to live towards you, Father, towards your word, and towards your ways. That is a right heart posture, all right? So, end of that one. Number two, what does a response worship look like? What does it look like to respond to God in worship? Number two, here we go, adoration. Adoration, adoration. Adoration is when we know who God really is. When you really know who he really is, and we went through some of his character, then you will want to express your love and your honor to him. When you know who he really is, and we said he's powerful and he's personal in your life, when you know he's powerful and personal in your life, when you know really who he is, you want to express your love and your honor and worship to him. Amen? So, do you know that God is worthy of all honor? Sure you do. You read that. He's worthy of all praise, right? He's worthy of all your love, right? He's worthy of all of that. Why? Because he did what you and I could not do. He did what you and I could not do. He did what you and I could not do. It says everybody was a sinner and a sinner whose path was going to lead to death. So God did what I could not do. He sent his son Jesus to die for me, right? And he sent his son Jesus to die for me so I would not have to die a death and he would give me life. Anybody have the life of God? He did that, so now I can live a life that he wants, amen? So he's worthy of my adoration because he has done it, right? Amen. How about this? How many of you have seen God move in your life? Every hand should go up. If you're a believer, you have seen God move in your life. If you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus' free gift of salvation, you have seen God move in your life. He has taken you out of what? The kingdom of darkness, of death, and he's planted you in his kingdom of light and his love. That's the greatest miracle. You have seen God move in your life, all right? So he is worthy. He is worthy of all our adoration, all right? He's worthy of adoration, so I will say to him, Lord, I give you my life as a sacrifice of worship. And I will align myself with you, and I will also give you all adoration and honor and love and praise because who you are and what you've done in my life, all right? Praise God. Here's another part of adoration. It has an aspect of reverence. Now, I grew up in a denomination where you walked into that church and you didn't say it, you didn't breathe wrong. Because there were some ladies dressed in black. The nuns would come, all right? But I understood reverence in a wrong way. But Proverbs, you can jot this down. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, Proverbs 1, verse 7, and probably about five other ones. It talks about a reverence to God, and it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, okay? And the fear isn't, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid of him. Ah! No, it's a reverence. Everybody say reverence. It's the fear of the Lord is a reverence of him in a good way, an awe of him, All right? So the fear of the Lord is really a reverence to God. It's a type of adoration. Amen? Right? And when you begin to have this adoration, this awe, this reverence, you will want to stand and worship. When it's, you know, like the light goes off, when you understand this reverence towards God, you will want to stand and just worship him. Amen? And you know what happens? I'll tell you what. Every time I just spend a little bit of time going, God, you have been so, so good to my life. You have been powerful. You have been personal. You have shown me your faithfulness. Lord God, you have shown me your loving kindness. Lord God, you have shown me your provision for my life. Lord, I just stand in reverence and adoration of you. Amen? Amen. Okay, next one. Number three, what does a worship response look like? What does a worship response? And I already said the word. It's awe, not A-L-L. A-W-E, awe, okay? A worship response is like awe, all righty? So it's when he becomes my primary focus that I will just stand in awe. You know, some people do that when a famous singer walks on the stage. They go, oh, are you kidding me? Do you know your father? I think he deserves a, right? Amen? Praise God. So here's something about this awe. I'm sorry to say, but you are liable, most definitely, I can guarantee, run into a few storms in your life. A few situations in your life, a few problems in your life. Why? Because we lived on a cursed earth and we've got an enemy, and then there's just people, right? So we are going to run into situations, problems, and troubles, okay? Storms. Storms just sound so much easier, okay? So we run into them in our life, okay? And when we do that, what happens is lots of times, we see that storm like there is no way out. I cannot see a way out of this. And then it starts consuming my life. It consumes my thoughts. It consumes my, I don't sleep. It consumes everything. Anybody ever had a storm in your life where just a couple of those were going on? You just can't see a way out. It consumes you, okay? But here's the thing. God never changes. He is powerful and he's personal. So the God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the problem is our focus does. I forgot. But our focus, right? Our focus changes here. But here's the deal. When you start to refocus and get your focus and your awe back on him, he can then come in. And he can then come in and move in your life. And he can show himself mighty in that situation that you need him to show, okay? He needs our first attention. He needs our focus back on him. And when you've got your first attention on him and your focus back on him, I am going to stand and worship. I'm going to do it, all right? I will. I do. But here's the thing. Storms try just to steal that awe on the one it should be on. Instead of, I'm the problem, okay? It says instead of that, we go like this. But how about we get our awe back on him so that he can move in our life? Amen? All right? So when you get your awe back on him and you put it back on him, you can see him as the redeemer. You can see him as the provision. You can see him as a deliverer. You can see him as his loving kindness. You can see him as the guy who will hold, the Father, the God who holds you in the palm of his hand. When you do that, you can see it. All right? So we want to put our awe back on him so he can move in our life. He can move in our life. I'm going to, can my worship team come up and kind of get ready? I like song number two, but you guys know what you're doing. Like, I know this, okay? But I got to thinking about the Old Testament. The Old Testament people knew God by many names. And these names told you about who God was. These names gave reference to his character, to the different aspects of who God was. Now, we know God is almighty, but they knew God by all of these names. They knew who God was by all of these names. So I'm going to read these names in a little bit. I don't want you to try copying them down. And I didn't even give them to Chad to put up on the screen. But I want you to listen to all of who God is. And when I read them, I'm believing that your eyes will be open to the one that you need today. The one that you need today to have an encounter so that you will stand in awe and adoration and alignment, all right? So I'm just going to read these names. I actually chopped my list in half because I was like, wow, that's a lot, Pastor D. All right, so these names, here we go. Again, when I read these names, I'm telling you, you should get up at 5 o'clock and start praying for the service here. But I was just seeing the presence of God come in when we know who we worship, when we know this God, all right? So here we go. The names of God, Elohim, he is the mighty creator, the creative God. Jehovah, he is Jehovah, the personal, intimate God, unchangeable. He's El Shaddai, the mighty God, the all-sufficient one. He's Jehovah Adonai, the Lord and Master. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He's the Lord Adonai, the Lord the Master. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, who sees ahead and provides the need before you get there. He's Jehovah Kitsenu, the Lord the Sanctifier. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner of victory. He's Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord my righteousness. He's Jehovah Rohani, the Lord my shepherd. He is Jesus. He is Jesus and he saves. And when you see all that he is, could you stand and worship? Would you stand and give him your awe? Give him your adoration? Just it's not just what he does, guys. He does that. It's who he is. It's who he is. Psalm 23:3 says, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And what that means is that when you are in this place of worship, it says he sits among us and he moves in power. But remember, he's powerful and he's personal. And not only does he move in a powerful way in times of worship, and it doesn't have to be on a Sunday morning. It should be while you're driving in your car and you're getting up at 5 and having breakfast with the Lord. But not only is he powerful, it says that in these times of worship, the glory of God comes upon. And glory means a weighty presence. Have you ever seen these blankets, these weighted blankets? I'm going to get one of those. You need one of those. Okay. They just, it's this presence that comes on you. And in the presence of the Lord, and when God is personal and his glory and his power, but his personal comes upon you, he is looking, he is searching. The Bible says he hovers over these times when there's adoration and awe before him. He hovers and he searches for those that he can show himself to be healer. And boom, There's healing. He's in those times where you're just in awe of loving him. It says he hovers and he searches for anyone in need of deliverance. And boom, he comes and he delivers. He searches for those that need to be set free in those times because he's powerful and he's personal. And how could we not just love him and worship him? I think this would be a good time to do that. Praise God. Praise God. Father, you're worthy. You have been my everything. You have been my rock stabilizer. I worship you. You have brought me out of sin and death, and you brought me into this family. I worship you. I love you. You've taken all my shame and made me holy, pure, and blameless. I worship you. I love you, Lord. Just love you, Lord. I love you. There's no one like you. I love you, Lord. You are my powerful, personal Lord. I just love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Jesus. Oh, yes, he is.
I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Touching every heart.
I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Waymaker, miracle.
We thank you for your presence. We thank you for who you are in our life. And Lord, all we can do again and again is to say, we worship you, we love you. Amen. Praise God. Well, if you would like to stay and worship, let's have fun. If you need to leave, I'm going to just say, just kind of quietly go out. Pastor Sherry, you have something?
Yeah. Yes. If you would like someone to stand with you, because some of those areas that we're believing for healing, for God to provide, or just in an impossible situation, this is where we stand together as church family. Yeah. So if